The Coast Guard Cutter Healy is the United States' latest and most technologically advanced icebreaker. The Healy's primary function is conducting research. It is well suited for research in the Arctic since it is capable of continuously breaking ice of 4.5 feet and is able to operate in temperatures as low as 50 degrees below zero. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Katie Ringabaugh. The Coast Guard Cutter Healy made a stop off the coast of Nome to board scientists for summer research. Members of the KNOM News Department, Paul Korchin, Clinton White, and myself toured the Healy. Ensign Kevin Bodwin conducted our tour.
I am a deck watch officer on board Cutter Healy, in charge with just safe navigation of the ship. I'm also the public affairs officer, so I'm your direct contact for today, so I'll be your lovely tour guide. Currently, we're deployed on Arctic West 04, and what that consists of is three SBI missions. We had just completed the first prior to a port call in Yokosuka, Japan, so that was our last port call that we came from here. This next mission will be primarily concentrated on CTD CAS. CTD stands for conductivity, temperature, and depth. And what they're doing is they're actually profiling the Arctic Ocean by temperature and getting layered volumes of temperatures, depths, and samples of water. And they'll take those samples back, look for microorganisms, just to get a better understanding of how the Arctic Ocean moves and where those waters are headed. One of the scientists on last year's mission had said that she could take a sample of water and tell you exactly where in the world it's been based on what's in it. Healy is one of four icebreakers that the Coast Guard has. One is primarily on the Great Lakes of Mackinac. Then we have the two polar class icebreakers, which is the Polar Sea and the Polar Star. Their primary mission is for the Antarctic. They used to do missions up north before Healy was delivered to the Coast Guard. So theirs is strictly icebreaking, not necessarily science. As with the Healy is a science platform with icebreaking capabilities, more suited towards the north and the research with SBI. We encountered a pretty thick amount of ice in our first mission, taking us about 150 miles north of Barrow on this last mission. We're looking to get further north in this next one, upwards of 200 to 300 miles north of Barrow.
How does the ship perform in those kind of conditions? Does it meet all the expectations of the designers and you folks who operate it?
It does, and some aspects it exceeds, and some aspects we find that our polar class would be better suited, just based on their raw icebreaking power. And that's the trade-off. For the maneuverability of the ship and the way that she's designed, as far as Healy is concerned, we needed to sacrifice a few things, such as raw and instantaneous power. The Polar Sea and the Polar Star are pretty violent in the way that they operate. We'll just keep power on, and by the sheer shape of the bow and our ice edge, it will compress the ice and break it apart and drift it off to the sides. It is a more smoother ride, more comfort ride, which gives it a more stable platform to conduct science operations.
Is there any kind of ice, reasonably speaking, on the sea that the Healy has to avoid? Is there you know, somewhere that you don't want to go because it could be dangerous to the ship?
Sure. Ice is constantly moving in the Arctic. It's not a stationary object as one might think. There are pressure ridges and there are areas of collision because it is a moving mass. When two pieces of ice collide, you develop something called a pressure ridge. And what that is that's two pieces of ice overlapped on each other. So instead of ice being 4 feet thick all around, you then have a section that's 8 feet thick.
The tour began with the integrated bridge system. The bridge is the Healy's primary control console and includes systems for integrated navigation, steering control, and electronic chart display.
Up here on the bridge, Healy's touted as the most technologically advanced icebreaker the Coast Guard has in service. She's also the largest. She's 420 feet long. And we have several automated systems on board, which allows us to operate at a reduced manpower. As you see here, we have an integrated engineering system where we can keep a close monitor on the status of major pieces of equipment, as well as operate remotely those pieces of equipment without necessarily the need for someone to go in and actually physically turn something on. We can do it at a push of a button. Next to that unit that you see there is we have a dynamic positioning system. We use that primarily with science operations when a geographic position in the water is important to maintain, such as if we were doing a coring. Coring, you need to keep it very stable because you're dropping a tube into the water, taking a pretty deep sample. Next to that, you'll see a VMS, which is stands for Voyage Management System. What that allows us to do is that's a computerized charting system that allows us to navigate without the use of paper charts. They're electronic in the sense and a little more flexible to the conning officer conducting operations. Even still, the way that we operate in tertiary redundancy. We have three computers keeping track of our position at any given time. One crashes, we go to the next, and so on and so forth. But we still maintain paper charts. So it's like with the computer craze when everyone went computerized, they said it was supposed to reduce paper and instead it triples your work. But for the most part, it makes a lot of complex tasks that used to be in the past where you'd have a helmsman and a lot of ordered commands automated. It goes a little smoother at times and sometimes it creates more headaches, especially with new software and glitches and things of that nature.
What's the minimum amount of personnel that are on the bridge at any given time?
Minimum amount while we're in ice will be two. And in open water transits, there will be three, a bridge watchstander, a JOD, and an OOD, officer of the deck.
How maneuverable is the Healy compared to other ships in the fleet? Is this the kind of ship that can turn on a dime if need be, or do you need a little bit more warning?
Healy responds quite well. She has twin rudders, unlike the Polar class, which has a big barn door rudder. It takes forever almost to get around. But with Healy has the ability at slow speeds to rotate 360 degrees on a center axis without losing a position.
What's the longest that Healy's designed to be out for?
I would say in upwards of 2 months. In fact, our entire transit from Seattle up north of Barrow and then back again all the way to Japan on a single tank of gas. Healy carries 1.3 million gallons of diesel fuel.
You have three wheels or three versions of wheels here up on the bridge. Can you describe what they are and what
sure.
they do?
What you're seeing there where the operation officer is standing is the master helm. That's capable of control the ship at any time. We also have the same control functions on the main console as we do on the port and starboard bridge wings. For example, if the conning officer felt more comfortable if we were, let's say, laying up against a pier on the starboard side, he could transfer controls to the starboard console so that he doesn't have to yell halfway across the bridge to his watchstander or helmsman, so on and so forth, shouting out commands. He could be right close to the action.
After the bridge, our tour progressed to the onboard RHIs, the Miranda Davits, and the two HH-65 helicopters.
And they're actually a really great boat, the RHI. We have two on board. They're there as our primary, our ready boats for any type of emergency that we need to deploy them, such as man overboard, so on and so forth. We also have two unique Miranda Davits on board that allow us to drop quite quickly and raise equally so. On board, we have embarked two HH-65 Dolphins. They're our primary search and rescue outfit. Not for the long range, but for very much the short range. Their primary mission while embarked on board is for ice reconnaissance. They also can be used as a search and rescue asset. And again, like we were talking about earlier with our missions, our primary mission is science, but if need be, called away, search and rescue would take priority based on our area of operation.
How about law enforcement? Are you ever called into that? Is this a vessel that will participate in, you know, boundary enforcement or, you know, wayward ships fishing where they shouldn't?
Yes, actually we encountered a little bit of that on our transit back from Japan. There was a high seas drift net area of surveillance that a couple of vessels of interest, and we are capable of doing such.
To conclude this segment of the Healy tour, Ensign Bodwin showed us the helicopter control station.
The area we're in right now is the HCO shack, and that stands for the helicopter control. And the O is officer, and what we have here is we have the supply officer on board Healy. He's also an HCO, and what he's doing is going ahead and coordinating, passing the numbers so that the Hilo has a good picture of what's going on with the ship so that they can best adapt to landing. If we're rocking a lot, they'll be apprised of that. We also have limitations of which we can operate in. And also during flight quarters, the commanding officer reports into the HCO shack. No Hilo is to be embarked or disembarked without his permission.
Tune in next week after the 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. news as our tour of the Healy continues. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Katie Ringabaugh.